Good morning, everyone. It is September 10, 2025, 10 o'clock a.m. Call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Chrisman, joined by fellow commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Jill Kringsted. So we have a quorum. Before anything else, would you please join me in standing and pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So my one opening comment I want to make isn't really about the PSC or PSC work, although the work he did impacted everything in the state. But lost a good friend here last week, I guess, and the funeral is actually going to start in a half hour, but I was able to get down to the viewing and see his wife and other friends. Former Senator Larry Robinson. He spent 32 years in the North Dakota Senate. I was blessed to spend 18 of those years down there in the rooms with him. And we had different philosophies on a lot of things. And so while there were multiple things that we worked together on because they weren't partisan in nature or those sorts of things, there were plenty of times when we disagreed too. And as I told his wife last night, one thing that I think back in all those years and all those discussions and for, what, about 10 of those years we were in appropriations together, all those discussions, whether it was working on a project together or debating something, sometimes pretty fiercely, I never walked away from one of those conversations feeling like we weren't still really good friends, you know. It was always just about the issue at hand. Truly a good man. Leaves a lot of legacy, certainly his family. I could go on and on just reading the obituary, but two of the things, there's the Robinson Recovery Center in Fargo, which he was instrumental in getting set up there. And then the Robinson Center for the Arts at Valley City State University, which Valley City State was sort of his... outside of his family and probably the Senate, his passion and life. So anyway, I just wanted to give a little bit of a kudos to Senator Larry Robinson. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert.
Good morning, and what a nice tribute to Senator Larry Robinson. I'll just add to that. I worked with him in different capacities at different agencies I served at, but also when I was with the Mental Health Association. He had a strong advocacy there for individuals receiving services and treatment and also removing the stigma. Great man, caring man, compassionate man. And as you were talking, he was a gentleman. I never once heard Larry raise his voice. But, okay. But I'm going to stand by it. Maybe, well, I won't say it. But God bless the memory of Senator Larry Robinson.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Okay, we have three items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, then moving into our regular agenda, I move the commission submit the changes to North Dakota Century Code Chapter 38-14.2 made by the 2025 legislature to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement as State Program Amendment 6.
Second.
So this past session, Senate Bill 2117 was introduced by the PSC in response to OSM's 2024 review of our AML program. Senate Bill 2117 changed the purposes for which the Abandoned Mine Reclamation Fund may be used and created a new special fund in the state treasury. This change allows us to increase to 30% the amount that we can set aside, and it clarifies what it can be used for, emphasizing things like sinkholes and coal fires. Senate Bill 2117 also revised the definition of eligible lands and water and project priorities. And just as a little aside, because I thought it was interesting during the session, our staff had proposed that the new fund at the Treasury be called the Stream Fund, because those are letters that are involved with this, and thought it made a pretty nice acronym. But they have certain rules regarding the naming of funds. So they chose the name of the fund, not us. I expect we may have the record for the longest fund name. It is labeled the State Abandoned Mine Reclamation Safeguarding Treatment for the Restoration of Ecosystems from Abandoned Mines Fund. So I'm not sure that how that fits in the upper left-hand corner on a check blank when we write out checks. So thank goodness for electronic payments. But that is the name of the fund. And if you catch me in the hallway afterwards, don't ask me to repeat it, please.
You don't want to say that three times fast, Randy.
No.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? No. Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission approve the rider that increases the amount of self-bond number SB-9501-1 and approve collateral bond number CB-9501-11 that covers all permits held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine and Coteau Properties Company self-bond and collateral bond approval, case number RC-25-240.
Second.
So the current bonds for the consolidated bond area up at Coteau, and they have six different permits, but their consolidated bond covers all six of them. And the total right now is $200 million. And I want to emphasize that because I don't think people realize the amount of collateral that gets put up to assure reclamation of, in this case, the state's largest mine, but $200 million. And that has to be increased as a result of a new worst-case estimate that is based on the worst-case reclamation conditions in all the permits, like the worst that can happen in all six permits. So the new minimum bond amount is $204,622,522. Coteau usually very generously pads the bond amount for unexpected operational changes, and has filed a rider to increase the amount of the self-bond and provided a new collateral bond that together totaled $215 million. So they've padded their requirement by over $10 million. So the amount of the new collateral bond will be $21,500,000, and the self-bond amount is being increased to $193,500,000. So cumulatively, 215. Basin Electric Power Cooperative is a third-party guarantor for the self-bond amount. We allow mining companies to provide up to 90% of their bond amount in the form of a self-bond. The other 10% must be in the form of a collateral or surety bond. We assume that funds from collateral and surety bonds would be more readily available than funds from a self-bond to begin reclamation in the unlikely event of a forfeiture. Our staff has reviewed the self-bond documents and found that they have been properly executed, and the Coteau and Basin meet the applicable self-bonding requirements. Certain financial criteria must be met in order to guarantee a self-bond, and Basin does meet those criteria by having a bond rating of A from S&P, and that's October of 2024 rating, so it's fresh. Staff recommends that the commission approve the increase in the bond and the replacement collateral bond As do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then my last motion, I move the commission adopt the order certifying use of federal universal services support and public service commission USF use certification 47 CFR 54.314 of 2026, compliance case number PU-25-15.
Second.
Going way back, the Telecommunications Act of 1996 requires that telecommunications carriers use universal service support only for the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and services for which that support is intended. Federal law requires that states which desire eligible carriers to receive this support pursuant to the high-cost program must file an annual certification stating that all federal high-cost support provided was used in the previous calendar year and will be used in the subsequent calendar year for only the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and services for which the support is intended. And that state certification must be filed no later than October 1st of each year. On August 28th of 2002 now, so 6 years later, but over 20 years ago, this commission issued an order indicating that any carrier providing local exchange service that desires to have PSC certification to the FCC shall file an affidavit certifying that federal support they receive is used appropriately. And I think that the point of that was we don't have a lot of regulatory authority over them, so how could we really certify? So they file this affidavit with us. And we further ordered in 2002 that the affidavits filed with the PSC will be the basis for this commission's certification to the FCC. So that's on law for over 20 years. This method of certification is acceptable because the FCC in its order recognized that some states have only limited regulatory oversight to ensure that federal universal support is used appropriately. The PSC certification this year is based upon the affidavits filed by 41 telecom carriers. If this motion is approved, we'll send a copy of each of the filed affidavits to the FCC and the Universal Service Administrative Company.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Halvin.
Thank you. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in MDU's company 2024 earnings sharing refund plan approval, case number PU-25-180.
Second.
On May 1st, MDU filed a request for approval of the 2024 earnings sharing refund pursuant to the commission's order in case number PU-22-194. In that order, it stipulates that MDU must file the achieved return on equity for the prior year along with their annual report that 70% of the earnings in excess of 10% return on equity shall be refunded to the ratepayers. And they also need to submit a refund plan, which includes the amount and the timing of the refund back to ratepayers. The filed annual report showed an ROE of 10.787% over the earnings for the year 2024 to be $2,908,502. If MDU refunds the amount directly to the customers, the total refund would be approximately $14.88 for a residential customer using 800 kilowatts per month. Persons desiring a hearing on this plan must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by October 24th. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Westwood Professional Services Incorporated Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM25-191.
Second.
So Westwood is their principal address is out of Texas, and we received a complaint on May 16th from an individual alleging that they violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to remove all tangible marking material used to mark underground facilities and sites upon completion, and the complaint indicated 27 locations. So I'm going to tell it kind of in a story. This was the complaint we received from the individual, a very detailed complaint, along with pictures outlining the locations of the 27 locations where flags were not removed. So the most thorough report I've been told by staff that we received from an individual on a complaint. So on June 5th, the staff received a response from Westwood initially saying that they didn't violate, but when they received the complaint, they went out and removed the 27 locations that were in the alleged complaint, and they had other markings. They had 72 total, so they removed the additional 40-some and responded back to us with a very detailed report along with pictures that complemented the complaint. So here the staff received one of the best, even though they received a complaint, which we wish we wouldn't, but the complaint along with the response was very detailed and self-explanatory. So with that, I want to thank both the person who received filed the complaint and the company for doing such a job. Good job. So therefore, it is the conclusion that Westwood did fail to remove those 27 plus the other 42, but they did put a team out there and they removed all of them. But they did violate for failing to remove all the tangible markings. And with the consent agreement, they were assessed a civil penalty of $2,700 with 22 suspended on the condition they have no further violations within 5 years. And they need to submit the $500 civil penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days. I just want to add, when I first read this, I questioned why so much was suspended based on the number of violations. And in talking with the director, he showed me the complaint along with the response and the thoroughness of them responding. And they said they did a good job, and they do now acknowledge the violation of removing upon completion of a project. So in keeping with the PSC's protocol, we're still going to assess them the $500 minimum. So with that, I do support this damage prevention settlement. Or this one call settlement on damage prevention, sorry.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to, because I misunderstood the memo when I first read it, and then our director of compliance explained it to me. And so in case anybody else would read it the same way, Westwood's not really denying that they violated the law, but they just fixed it as soon as they were notified, right?
That's correct. But at first, initially, because we do have it in there, and I had the same question, they initially denied it. But upon receiving, going through the complaint and talking with the director, they do understand they violated the law.
Okay. So I will just say, you know, especially in town, I can see someone thinking, well, so what's the big deal? They put up a few flags and they neglected to pick them up. Just go take them down. It's not that hard. I will say you get in rural areas, like I understand most of this work to be. I've had a few times when I've called in a one-call request because I needed to do something out at the ranch. And some companies, like, you can call in and say, you know, kind of give a description, and they are so cautious. They mark stuff a lot further than you asked for. Now, I can only imagine if you have dozens of projects and some companies do that, it ends up being a lot of flags out there. And especially, I will say, for ranchers along state highways with wide rights of way, there's a lot of potential haying out there. And the access to that haying is part of kind of what you get in exchange for giving up your property for the highway. And so, I mean, it is a huge burden for someone like that to have to go out and when you have dozens of these, remove potentially hundreds or even thousands of flags walking around picking them up, and you don't want them getting ground up in the hay for the cows to eat. And so it is important that companies do this. I just wanted to emphasize that.
Well, and what I will say is, in reading through this and talking through this with our director, it does appear that the company was, once they were aware that there was an issue, that they were very proactive and responsive, which I really appreciated.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. So that includes our agenda items. As far as announcements would go, about all that I would really add, point out is our next regular meeting is 2 weeks from today, September 24th at 10 o'clock, regular time, regular place. With that, did anyone want a break before our admin hearing?
No.
Okay. We will adjourn this regular meeting and take some questions from the press. And upon completion of that, we'll reconvene for the admin meeting. But this meeting is adjourned. All right. Not-